Well, I would like to continue this morning a series of lessons that we began this past year called Blessings for the Bride. And that is something that we have been discussing. We've been looking at Ephesians chapter 1 and the various blessings that are mentioned there, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And the key words there being, in Christ. These blessings are for the bride. They are not for any other. They are not for those who are outside of Christ, but only for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so these blessings we've been looking at last month, we looked at the blessing of acceptance. And here we're going to look today at the blessing of God's good pleasure. So if you will turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 7, we will then read together the text that we are studying this morning. It says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the fullness," or in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, "He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him." So let's think about these verses for a few moments and the blessing of God's good pleasure. We think about what Paul is saying here. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to the Lord's church. He's talking about how that in the church we have tremendous blessings. And he talks about three great blessings in relationship to God's good pleasure, that these things have been done because God wanted to do them. It was His pleasure to do them. You know, I have two sons who work for Chick-fil-A down in Austin, Texas. And of course, if you've ever been to a Chick-fil-A, you know that when you say thank you to those who are employed there, they respond with a very specific phrase. And what is it? My pleasure, right? That's how they work. And my boys are so trained to do that. When I tell them thank you now, that's how they respond. And they don't even think about it anymore. My pleasure. What a tremendous expression. An expression that says, I want to do this. An expression that means, this is something that makes me feel good. This is something that I do voluntarily of my own will because I enjoy it. My pleasure. Well, that's what God is telling us here in Ephesians chapter 1. He is saying that these things, these blessings that He gives us are all according to His pleasure. He wants to do it. It makes Him feel good to do it. It delights Him to do it. You know, sometimes I think that maybe we think about God as if He's up in heaven, you know, looking down on us and just kind of grudgingly giving us these blessings occasionally. And He really doesn't want to, but He does it, you know, simply because He has to do it. And that really is a reflection on our own attitude, that we're the ones who think that way. It's not God who thinks that way, but we do. And what we need to change is our thinking in relationship to God. And just as He is telling us here that according to His good pleasure, He gives us these great blessings, that's how we need to think about these blessings, and that's how we need to think about other people as well. Well, think about this. Have you ever had a big family event? Maybe a wedding or maybe a family vacation. And when the day, and you spend hours and hours planning this event, right? And then the day comes when it finally arrives, and how do you feel? You're excited. You want this to happen. You want this event to take place. How do you want everyone else to feel about it? You want them to be excited. You want them to enjoy this experience, this vacation or wedding or whatever it might be. Well, you see, God has the same attitude toward us. He wants everyone to come together in His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the one body that He's speaking of here. That is what He is interested in. He has facilitated all of these great blessings, and He gives them to us, and He wants us to enjoy them. And so as we think about these things that the Apostle Paul writes here and the many different expressions that he uses to talk about the blessings of God, let's have in mind this great pleasure that God takes in giving us these wonderful and tremendous blessings. First of all, when we think about these blessings, and my fonts have gone away here. I had a different font, and it evidently didn't get transferred to the computer that was using back there, so I apologize. But we have the blessing of redemption, forgiveness, and grace. Let's think about that for just a moment. First of all, redemption. Redemption is that God has bought us back out of a terrible bondage, out of a horrible situation. And He's bought us back, and He's brought us back to participate in something else. Forgiveness. You see, we're the reason why we were in that bondage to begin with. But God says, no, I forgive you. I'm going to let that go, and I'm going to release you from all the guilt that you may have in regard to those sins. And grace, redemption, forgiveness, and grace. You see, God favors us with His Son, Jesus Christ. And therein we have tremendous grace. Look at Ephesians 2, 4 through 5. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Now this is exactly the same thing Paul is talking about here in Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 7, when he says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Redemption, forgiveness, grace. All three of these great thoughts are just brought together in this one verse. And Paul just throws them at us. And he's just challenging us then to understand these things and to accept this great blessing. But this blessing is only possible in Christ. Only those who are in Christ have access to these blessings. To be in Christ, one must be baptized into Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verses 27 and 28 says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And so in Christ Jesus are where these blessings reside. And we must therefore identify and commit to Christ in order to have these blessings. And that means that we have a great relationship with God. What are these blessings intended for? The redemption, the forgiveness, the grace. They are intended to facilitate relationship with God. That's what they're for. That's why they're there. God wants us to have a relationship with Him. He wants a relationship with us. And He wants us to develop and to grow and to come into the likeness and fullness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so He gives us redemption. He gives us forgiveness. He gives us grace, that we may have this great relationship. Ephesians 2, 6 and 7 says that He's raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding richness of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You see, God desires this relationship, And it is something that he has invested a tremendous amount of effort into facilitating. And so when we look at these things, we are looking at God's work, God's effort to bring us to him and to mend this broken relationship that we had with him. When we think about the relationship that God wants with us, we should think about the best relationship that we have, the best relationship that we know, because God is wanting to have that kind of relationship with us. And he's gone to the extremes in order to get that relationship. In 1 John 1, verses 3 through 4, John says this. He says, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us." What is fellowship? Fellowship is having a good relationship with another person, and that relationship growing and expanding and deepening on all levels. You may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Christ wants us to have this full joy, and it comes by virtue of this relationship, this fellowship that we have with God and with Jesus Christ. And God has done the work. He has done what needs to be done in order to make it happen by providing redemption and forgiveness and grace. And he does that for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we think about the blessings of the bride. And we think about God's good pleasure. God wanted to do these things. He wanted to redeem us. He wanted to forgive us. He wants to give us his grace and mercy. He extends it freely. Yes, it is according to his good pleasure. But then secondly, God has, and that works pretty good, that font there looked all right. God has given us his revelation. And you see, he's done that through his good pleasure as well. Have you ever had a situation where someone was just not willing to talk to you about something? You know you needed to talk about something, something that's happening, or something that is important, and you go to the person and you say, I need to talk to you about this, and they won't have anything to do to you. You know, I think the kids today, they call it ghosting, right? Isn't that what they call it when someone just all of a sudden drops the relationship and doesn't communicate anymore? You text them and they won't text back. You've been ghosted, right? And that's not a very nice thing to do from what I understand. It's pretty rude to ghost someone. And that's not what we want to do today. But you see, God hasn't ghosted us. He has communicated with us. We're the ones who try to ghost him, really. And we can't really do that because he's always there and he always sees what's going on. But you see, God hasn't ghosted us. He is the one who's, and usually, you know, when you try to cut off a relationship with someone, you don't want to communicate with them, whatever. It's out of a sense of superiority. It's out of a sense of, well, I'm better than this person, or I don't want to have anything to do with them anymore. It's not a very good attitude to have. But you see, God doesn't have that attitude. He actually is in a place of superiority to us, but he has not ghosted us. He has communicated with us. He has revealed to us his holy word. And you see, that's a great thing because he wants the lines of communication to be open. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says here in verse 8. He says about this redemption and forgiveness and grace, he says, "...which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself." He made known to us the mystery of his will. Now, what is that talking about? Is that talking about something that we can't understand or we can't know? No, that's not what it's talking about at all. Instead, look at Romans 16, 25 through 26. This explains what the mystery is. He says, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith." So you see, the mystery is no longer a mystery. What is it? It's the gospel, he says there. It's the preaching of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of the mystery. It's what is now made manifest by the prophetic scriptures. It is what is being made known to all nations. It's the commandment of the everlasting God. You see, these are all different ways to say the same thing. It's saying God has communicated with us. God has revealed us His Word, the Bible. And when we read it, and when we study it, we can understand it, and we can learn it. Paul said, "How that by revelation, he made known to me the mystery." Remember, the mystery is just the gospel. It's the Word of God. "As I have briefly written already, by which you, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." So God has revealed to us his will through the gospel. At one time, it was a mystery, but now it is not a mystery because it's been revealed. And when we read what Paul wrote, we can understand what he understood. And so God gives us revelation. He communicates with us. This is a great blessing that we have. And we have this blessing in the church today. Now, the gospel is, of course, God's power for salvation. And we need to pay attention to it. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith unto faith, even as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And so the gospel is God's power of salvation today. And through the gospel, we can learn and know and obey the truth. Peter writes these words. He says, "Since you have been purified," or "since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." And so, for the bride, the lines of communication are open. God reveals His will to us, and we then, in turn, have the opportunity to speak to Him. He communicates the Bible to everyone, but only His children can speak back to Him. Only they have a right to approach God in prayer. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, we read, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Jesus said this in Luke 18 and verse 1. He told a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. You see, God has not ghosted us. He has communicated with us. The only question is, are we going to ghost Him? Really, that's the question. Are we going to talk to Him? Are we going to let this line of communication be open and then speak to Him all of the things that are on our heart and on our mind? The revelation of the mystery, a great blessing, communication with God, that is a blessing that only the child of God has. And then finally, when we think about God's good pleasure. It is His good pleasure to provide redemption, forgiveness, and grace. It is His good pleasure to provide open lines of communication with His children. And it's His good pleasure to underscore and emphasize and give us great unity in the body of Christ. Unity. Look at what he says here, what Paul says here then in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. All things gathered together in Christ. That is God's desire. That is God's purpose. That is his great intention for the church. You know, it's not God's fault that there is a problem with others. God has done everything within his power to bring us together. And we need to understand God's purposes in this regard. You see, God created everything problem-free. When he created the world in the beginning, it was a beautiful world. Everything was problem-free. There were no sins. There were no problems. Just God in complete loving fellowship with him and his creation. God made everything good. But sin divides people from God and from one another. That's what Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says. You see, that's what happened in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. They committed sin and were separated from God. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. That's the prophet's way of saying, it's not God's fault that we're in trouble. That's basically what he's saying. But your iniquities, that is, your sins, have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Sin separates us from God, and sin separates us from one another also. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. And so sin works its evil and creates disunity. It creates disharmony. It creates division. It creates war and catastrophe in this world. But God, who is rich in mercy, has blessed us with his Son, Jesus Christ. And only in Christ can we be brought back together in one body to have beautiful and great unity in the church. Now, God is seeking to unite humanity in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's this great purpose of the church. He says in Philippians 2, 1 and 2, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Oh, that everyone would have this attitude, that we would all seek to reflect the great unity that is in Christ Jesus. That is a blessing that only the church has, though, because there are so many who are lost in this world and separated from God because of their own sins. God wants to unite us together in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus wants us to be one. He wants us to have unity. That unity is in his body, and that's the only place we're going to get it. And in his body, God restores us to the original place that we need to be in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, look at that expression, in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is where we have great fellowship. That is where we have newness. That is where we have oneness in Christ Jesus. And so therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lesson. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. You see, that's how we maintain the unity that we have in Christ Jesus, by eschewing sin and presenting ourselves to God, people who are ready to get to work, people who are ready to let God guide them and lead them and to do the right things within their lives, pushing out all of the old sinful things that took us away from God to begin with. God's good pleasure brings everyone together in Christ. Oh, that we could understand how God wants us to be, and understand that His desire for us to be this way is out of absolute, pure, holy, and sincere goodwill for us. God has given us these great blessings, and He's put them at our feet. And when we say thank you, He says, my pleasure. What a tremendous God we have. He brings us the blessings of redemption, forgiveness, and grace. He brings us the blessing of open lines of communication. And He brings us the blessing of unity in the body of Christ. What a blessing it is to be a Christian. What a blessing it is to be a member of the Church of Christ, to have these blessings that no one else has because they are outside of Christ. Would you be part of the body of Christ today? We can help you participate in these wonderful blessings that He gives through hearing His word and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You can become part of this great body, the church, the body of Christ. You can be in Christ Jesus and have all of these wonderful blessings that God gives in His good pleasure. Would you partake of the blessings for the bride this morning? We urge you to do so while together we stand and while we sing.